This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Are some of the pandemic's star firms starting to lose their shine? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Will Bain, in for Victoria Craig. Thanks so much for being with us. After Netflix's disappointing subscriber numbers were the talk of financial markets on Tuesday, it was another firm here in Europe which had seen its sales soar during the pandemic, which had a surprise announcement for investors this morning. A giant of the European takeout industry, or takeaway as we like to call it here, JustEatTakeaway.com delivered millions of customers their favourite restaurant dishes during the coronavirus lockdowns. But today it announced in its earnings call it's looking to offload its American subsidiary Grubhub. That came as something of a shock. Just Eat had only just gobbled up the US firm for more than $7 billion in June 2020. So why are Just Eat looking to sell? We asked Russ Mould, investment director at the UK investment firm AJ Bell.
First, its overall performance has been relatively disappointing. That's Just Eat as a whole. We've actually had first quarter numbers in Europe today, and orders were down 1% year on year. The UK and Ireland and American markets were particularly weak, and some analysts are actually suggesting there's a loss of market share there as well. The other reason is related to that. It's got an activist shareholder on its register, a firm called Cat Rock, based in Greenwich, Connecticut. And they've been saying to Just Eat from the start, Grubhub was a bad idea. It's a bad deal. We think you should spin it off, sell non-core assets. And I think management is now starting to listen, not least because the shares are down by nearly three quarters over the past 12 months.
And Russ, the plan had been about scale, really, for these companies, Just Eat and Takeaway.com, first of all, merging in Europe, and then the acquisition of an American takeout firm in Grubhub, at a time when most people around the world were spending more time at home, perhaps ordering takeaways. That didn't seem a bad bet, but not looking quite such a good one now, perhaps.
I understand the argument for scale, but it leaves them, you know, in competition with Deliveroo, DoorDash, Delivery Hero, just in terms of direct food delivery firms, let alone meal kit companies. Then there's pubs, restaurants. People can even go to the grocery store and cook the food themselves if they want. And I think they've just found themselves in action on too many fronts at once.
Russ, the other big kind of story in financial markets, of course, in the last 24 hours has been Netflix's poor performance, losing subscribers. Is this a case that we're starting to see companies, some of the big winners of the global pandemic, are perhaps losing some of their shine now, coming back to earth a bit?
I think from an investment perspective, definitely. I mean, Zoom video conferencing, its shares are down by about three quarters from their peak now as well. It's partly because, yes, people are looking to and are able to get out and about a lot more. But I think the other problem is that those share prices just got to such a very, very high level. The valuations were very stretched. And if there was any disappointment at all, then there was always going to be trouble. And that's definitely what we've seen, for example, in the case of Netflix and Peloton in the past few months.
Russ Mould, investment director at the UK investment firm AJ Bell. Thanks a lot for your time this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, if you were on the hunt for a restaurant to order your takeout from, or maybe a hotel, or just about anything else you were going to buy on the internet, then if you're anything like me, one of the first things you scan for are the online reviews. Of course, one of the big challenges has been, can we trust those reviews? And how do we know they're written by real customers and not just a bunch of the seller's best friends? Well, here in the UK, the competition watchdog is set to get new powers to crack down on fake product reviews, as the BBC's technology correspondent Mark Chislack explained.
It's the job of the Competitions and Markets Authority to police several aspects of online consumer protection. Until now, though, it's lacked sufficient enforcement powers to bring a swift resolution to issues such as fake reviews. Under the plans, new legislation will make it clearly illegal to pay someone to write or host a fake review. The CMA, instead of a court, will be able to directly impose fines on websites or platforms worth up to 10% of global annual turnover for mistreatment of their customers.
The BBC's Mark Chislack reporting there. Well, if you've successfully filtered out the fake reviews for the real thing, you might be beginning to peek ahead to a summer break as the holiday season creeps into view here in the Northern Hemisphere. Venice, for many, has been a go-to destination, but that has brought about huge challenges for the Italian city's historic and compact streets. Overcrowding for years has been a huge headache for locals and authorities alike in the city. So now they have a plan. From next year, people not staying within Venice's boundaries for their trip will have to make a reservation and pay a fee to be able to visit. The city's deputy mayor, Simone Venturini, is responsible for tourism, and he said the scheme would run for a trial period to begin with.
COVID changed feelings and perception of what tourism is, in the world and in Venice too. So we want less quantity and more quality.
Well, for a bit more, the BBC's Emily Brown has been taking a look.
The floating city of Venice is a unique destination for the millions of tourists who, before the pandemic, flocked to these narrow streets and scenic squares every summer. For day trippers, reservations will be compulsory, and from next year, there'll be an entrance fee. People staying in hotels and local residents will be exempt. And while Venice contends with the volume of visitors, it also banned large cruise ships from sailing into the city's lagoon. Authorities hope the tourist tax will reduce daily visits and encourage longer stays.
That's the BBC's Emily Brown reporting from Venice there. Not sure where my invite from the BBC to go and make that piece was. Obviously lost in the post, but there we go. Anyway, wishing I was in Venice, but very much in London. I'm Will Bain with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks so much for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.